Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and The Living Spirit, which shares tales of healing, infinite love, spiritual communication, awakenings, miracles, and is a guide to your soul awareness. I am most delighted today to welcome Julia Bowling, a physician and author of To Me, I Thee Wed, who has implemented a blend of conscious awareness and conventional medicine to help people deal with depression, addiction, and to help them achieve health and wellness. Hello, Dr. Bowling, and thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Hi there.
Okay. Julia, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share our intimate stories as we seek to understand both energetic and human qualities, which ultimately can help us reach our full potential in order to find what we're looking for, happiness and joy with ourselves and with others during our life journey. We have found that the duality and needs of our ego-based reality or awareness and of our inner soul aspects often separates us from knowing who we are and how to relate to others without the fear and limitations which were imposed on us early during our childhood. We aim to, through self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions, find the more positive aspects of life and of ourselves. In today's show, Julia Bowling will share an intimate and professional understanding of how personal, social, and cultural influences impact one's inner self and, as a result, one's overall health and wellness. We will discuss how to love, honor, and cherish ourselves forever after, and an RX for a healthier, wealthier, and wiser you. Julia, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and to try to remember a person, a place, or an event that was most meaningful to them and which may have offered them or others a clue to their life plan or destiny, as I feel we are born with a blueprint within and goals and values that we will continue to know as we move along on our path in life. So think back for a moment.
Well, I have a pretty clear experience that I have in mind to share. And let's go with that one. So a little bit about me. I'm a physician. I see patients every day. I'm a family doc. And I also have had a pretty significant past medical history when I was a teenager. I really struggled really badly with eating disorders, a horrible self-abuse pattern, a lot of depression and anxiety. And I was really on a bad path heading the wrong direction. And one day at age 18, I made the decision that that was going to be my last day. I knew where the gun was, and I knew where the bullets were.
Mm.
And I was walking across the Ohio State University, and I sat down next to the Mirror Lake Pond. And I remember very clearly looking at myself in my reflection and thinking how ugly and how horrible and disgusting my reflection was and how unhappy I was. And that's when I knew that that was going to be my last day. The second that I made that decision, the concrete, solidified decision to end my life, I had an experience that was unsolicited, unexpected, and unwanted, and it was a spiritual intervention. And I was taken to a white room. Yeah, it felt like this pop sensation where I was taken to this white room that, all I can say, sometimes I can't even say it without tears, is that it was pain-free. It was unbelievably comfortable. It was, without a doubt, a sense of knowing that I was home.
Mm.
And there was no question about it. And I was given an inner conversation because I didn't really hear the words as much as I felt the words. And they were, right off the bat, it was, do you know what a wonder you are?
How beautiful.
And I,
rem- Yes. Yeah. How beautiful. Yeah. You must have had a very large angel around you, transporting you to that miraculous realm. Some people call it the Akashic Record, or the realm between here and above. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I was given the opportunity to, the words were, that I heard were, you can stay here as long as you like, forever if you wish, but I'd like you to see something first. And what I was given was a witness to see myself back from when I was born until that moment, not as a human being, but just as a light going through life. And I would watch my light growing and coalescing, and I was watching the story unfold without pain and without judgment, but just for what it was, just a life experience of growth. And it was absolutely the most incredible thing, just to see, no matter whether it was a happy moment or a painful abuse moment, but it was amazing to watch my soul shift and grow. And then once I was back into the white room after the review of my life, I was given the choice again. You can stay here as long as you want, or you can go back. Well, I had already made that decision, right? I had already decided my life was over. There was no way I was going to go back. But then the words said again, I would like to show you something else. And it showed me years ahead, when I was older, roughly my age now, I'm 50, standing on a stage in front of people crying and sharing something that was obviously very, very deep and personal. Now, you got to get something straight. At this point in time, up until age 18, I never shared a tear. I never shed a tear. I never discussed my feelings. I felt feelings were weak. I thought asking for help meant that I was weak. And so to see me in a future life standing in front and sharing something that was obviously personal just was unfathomable to me. But what happened at that point is the kind of the camera in the image panned to the audience, and each and every one of them were also either looking at each other, tearful, or hugging or crying. And that's when I saw that each and everybody's lights, their soul light, were growing and expanding and coalescing. They were going together, and that eventually the entire room was one big amazing light.
Well, that's what we're here for, our soul growth and maturity and the growing of our light. And I was similar to you at about 18 years old. I thought I was living life because I was clever and I was hardworking and I had a good family and I sort of knew all the rules and I sort of abided by all the rules and I didn't cry. I had to be self-confident and self-sufficient. But now, many, many years later, having grown spiritually and having grown aware of who we really are as spiritual beings, having this physical life, I know in my heart that everything is right. And we are here for a grander purpose, to connect to other people and to bring our light beyond this place, because we're affecting souls beyond here. So it's a beautiful thing. And also the tears that you shed, I shed all the time now, because those are the tears of Buddha. Those are the tears that you have for the world and for everybody's awakening and growth, and not necessarily your personal needs, because you have learned that taking care of yourself, loving yourself, is not selfish, and crying when it's for yourself is limiting, but when it's for others and the world, it's empowering. It's empowering to yourself and to others. So it's a beautiful thing we've learned. Mm-hmm. And we've come past the sadness of our childhood or our youth to know that there's much more meaning than we saw at that time. And, you know, I've interviewed many people about near-death experiences, and they had something similar to what you experienced. And it changed you, ultimately giving you new gifts that you were able to use in your medical practice and in establishing and writing this book, and and for establishing a way forward for your own personal growth and for others. So that's a beautiful, beautiful story. Let's go on to tell us a little about your book, To Thee I Do Wed, and what event inspired you to write that book?
Yeah, the book
it's,
is To Me, I Be
funny.
Wed. It is. And the full title is To Me, I Be Wed, Be Your Own Better Half. Learn mm-hmm. how to love, honor, and cherish yourself forever after. And the story is I originally wrote a manuscript, the book, and it was entitled Broken Bones, Soaring Soul. And it was really all about how to use the tragedies of your life and grow in your soul and fly in your own light. But what happened was it was getting so hard to unravel the pain of the book. And so I was just kind of tabling it for a while. I had to step back before I did the final edit. And I went to my nephew's wedding, and he was an older gentleman, and he's standing up at the altar, and he screwed up his wedding vow. So instead of saying to thee I wed, he said to me I be wed. And that's it. You know, they talk about when light bulbs go off and you hear bells. I know I was at a wedding, but I'm not kidding you. When I say I heard ding, 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 and my brain just completely shifted and I went inward and said, that's it. I was trying to come up with something that would relate to everybody, not just people who have been, you know, struggle with self-abuse or who had been abused or who have addictions or, you know, depression. I wanted a book that would relate to everybody, and that's where it came from. So the entire book is really about learning how to fall back in love with who you are naturally,
absolutely,
authentically.
Yes, that is the first and foremost conclusion to any success in this life. You must honor and respect your destiny and your plan and your talents, you know, and your spiritual needs. Yes, absolutely a beautiful concept. Now, how can making a commitment to marry yourself and honor your own truest needs begin to help people who struggle with wellness issues like emotional chaos, depression, self-neglect, obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, or just feeling lost and not following through an activity? So how can this concept help them?
Well, let me ask a question. Do you know what you should do to be healthy?
Well, I should listen to what's I am hearing within myself and appreciate my own needs first so I can find joy and peace and happiness, and then find enjoyment in relationships, in work, in nature, in taking care of my physical needs, health, exercise, food, joy, travel. In other words, just live life in all its aspects without so much blame or worry or trying to follow other people's expectations or needs, to find my own, how can I say, compass and point of focus for what I was mm-hmm. born to do. So
right. So most people have kind of a pretty good, clear idea what they should be doing to be healthy. You know, eating right, taking care of themselves, exercising, you know, and from a physical standpoint, right? That's kind of more the physical things that you should be doing. But from a mental standpoint, you know, learning and going to classes and not stopping when it comes to brain growth and self-guiding education. But also there's that third component. There's the physical component, the mental component, and then there's that spiritual component of healing one's personal energy. And what happens so oftentimes is most people know what they should be doing to be healthy. They might even know how they should do it. But unfortunately, what I've seen after 23 years of medical practice and over 100,000 patient visits, most people don't understand why they don't do the things they should be doing to feel better, think better, connect better, and feel more intuitively connected with God and the world around them. So my entire platform is really based on breaking down what it takes to understand why you may not be successful in the care and the keeping of yourself.
Well, that's what I started with in my answer. First and foremost is your unique, magnificent soul being. And most people are not aware of it. They're aware only of their physical life and the expectations that their parents and teachers and the socialization process and everything has filled their mind and heart with. So, yes, it is the mind, body, and spirit. And when everything is working in alliance to that higher source or energy of creation, some people call it God or the divine or universal energy, but it exists. And it is what you expressed when you said at 18 you had that moment of transcendence. I have that on a regular basis when I meditate and I receive information from that unified, we'll call it unified field of consciousness and eternal life. And it is something that people really need to know about because it is the key to finding peace and joy and happiness and health and vitality and everything that we were born to experience as a soul. So I think that's what you were saying. We need it all. We really need to see it all. Now, let's go on to power or power. It's power, but it's spelled P-A-W-A-R. And what does that stand for? You came up with that, and I like it very much.
Yep, it stands for personal awareness and responsibility.
And that's an important word, responsibility. Because most people, they're very good at blaming others for lack of success or happiness. But it's really a personal choice and responsibility to create the best in your life. And when things don't go right, instead of blaming others, try to find what it is that you might want to do in a different way. So in my book, The Living Spirit, I address the reason many people don't achieve happiness and peace. And I wrote, since I receive intuitive messages from my clients, many people have asked me, how can I find peace and happiness in my life? This is the answer I give them. Before there can be peace and happiness in a person's life and in the world, every person must be responsible to do their own work about acknowledging what needs to change within their attitudes or actions so that they may better relate to the outside world. Finding true happiness and joy is the natural outcome of self-investigation. And that's a very big key there. There are no shortcuts to doing
there
this.
Aren't.
Nobody can do it for you. This is the problem. So many people think they'll go to a doctor and they'll get the surgery or the pill or, the therapy, and it'll be perfect. The doctor will heal them or fix them. But when I do Reiki sessions, I say to my clients, ultimately, I can set up an environment for you to know things in a new way, perceive things in a new way. But who's going to make the shift or change? The person. And this is something that is very important. And I think our listeners, of course, here today know that. They're working on change and accepting change and evolving and helping others become aware of energy in its many nuances.
The biggest shift that happened, for me, at that pivotal moment of that spiritual intervention, was that for the very first time in my life, I was able to see very clearly that there was purpose behind the pain. So that now I have faith that I understand that there's purpose behind every painful as well as joyful moment in my life. And that not only that, but I trust that there's always going to be a person or a process out there that will give me a hand when I reach out to grab it, knowing that that will strengthen me, help me grow, because we are all connected intuitively, energetically. And when we reach out, we're no longer isolating ourselves from that massive, beautiful, helpful, spiritual, godlike energy. And then lastly, that each and every one of us can transcend horrors.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying we have to have these challenges and pain. There's nothing wrong with feeling. Most people are very content to allow themselves to be in a state of numbness. But that's not what we're here to do. We're here to experience all these emotions, both positive and negative, and then to transcend them, to know them, but not to allow them to imprint themselves so fully on us that we can't move past them. So thank you very much for saying that. That was very appropriate. Now let's go on to the term sagacious selfishness. I love it. It sounds like a song. It's beautiful. Go on to telling us something about that, because it's another concept that most people, they hear the word selfishness or selflessness, and they have one vision of it, but there's more to it than that. So tell us something about that.
Absolutely. You know, God has given us this vessel, this body that we are inhabiting while we're on this earth, and we are responsible for the care and the keeping of this body, both in health and in wellness and protection. And to think that another person or another body or another entity is, it's a nice way to put this, it's really important that we give ourselves to others. Yes. It's really important that we help and assist others. Yes. It's really important that we give when we have the resources and the health to do so. But if it is impacting your health and wellness negatively, then you are not being responsible in the care and the keeping of yourself. So in other words, sagacious selfishness is appropriate self-care to maximize your health and wellness so that you have the energies and the reserves to share and brighten the world with other people.
Yeah. And you
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me. And you also wrote, people who practice sagacious selfishness have a zest, a verve for living, a natural joy that comes from honoring their inherent value. Healthy selfishness opens the door to a life of freedom, freedom from being ruled by the opinions and demands of others, as well as freedom from the voices in your own mind. And since I've been, I would say a teenager, courage and freedom, those words have been very important to me. In other words, to stand up for what is valuable to you, what's in your heart and soul. It doesn't mean you'll always agree with other people, and you might sometimes have to walk alone because you can't engage other people's reality or feelings and way of life if it's not true to yourself. So I love that. That you said that's what it's about. It's about a freedom and a truth of your own self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like people to remember after reading your book? And I'm using the shortened version of it. To me, I thee wed, because it's appropriate in those words.
I would like them to remember that inherently you're never alone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Despite your pain, despite your walls, despite your fears, despite your inability sometimes to use your own voice, even in the depth of despair and struggle, that you aren't alone. And that by reaching out to those around you and to God above, you can take the first step towards transcending your pain. And that by learning step by step, which is what the book does, step by step, to slowly grow into infatuation with who you could be, to love of self, commitment of self, and growth of self, there's a world of living and vitality and connection that is absolutely amazing and ready there for you.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Julia Boland, for sharing your amazing soul journey through your thoughts, insights, and your pursuit of wisdom or knowledge of the world, both inner and outer world, and our place in this amazing life. For more information and to purchase To Me, I Thee Wed, go to Julia Boland, MD, at yahoo.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Julia Boland has shared the most important ideas for finding inner peace, realizing your true human and spiritual potential, and moving past any obstacle or roadblock in order to find the song that sings in your heart, the love that resides in your inner wisdom for yourself, for life, and for others, and for the true grace and meaning of our physical life, which merely is the remembrance of your soul or eternal energetic force, which, when discovered, helps you to realize that life is a collaboration between mind, body, and spirit. As Julia wrote, also, interest doesn't have to be in another person. It could mean being interested in a subject, an area of study, a hobby, a career, or something in the world beyond yourself that you find fascinating. Such interests not only enrich your own individual life, but make you more interesting to others. The ability to express and convey your passions and fascinations to others can be extremely appealing, as long as you don't become self-absorbed or lapse into jargon or off-putting shop talk. Being interested in others, in hobbies, and in your life makes you a more interesting person. It's also a great way to enrich your own individual life. Julia and I would have you know, whatever challenges you have faced or will face may be the necessary ingredients to healing issues from your earliest recollections, and also the motivation to begin to explore possibilities of creating what feels right and good in your daily activities, what brings you comfort and joy, and to embrace those experiences as they lead you to people, places, and events that offer you opportunities to know yourself better and to simply know life is good. Live in the moment, not the past or future, and life will be immeasurably lighter and more fun. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to authors and visionaries share their discoveries for living a life of meaning and fulfillment. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.